Hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. The Game Awards were last week, and Claire Obscur swept up most awards they were nominated in. I think it was 9 out of 11, so that gives it a couple extra points in my personal backlog priority list. Some of the announcements have me extra excited as well, specifically the new Divinity game, Tomb Raider Catalyst, Control Resonant, and Fate of the Old Republic. This backlog just never stops growing exponentially, does it?
No, it does not. Yeah, those games look great. You still need to play
I still need to
Control.
play Control 1, but I know I'm going to like it already.
I was so excited when I saw that trailer. Yeah, I'm very
I mean,
excited
I'm
for
sure
that.
you know a lot more of the background because it does not look anything like the first Control, at least from the reviewer trailers that I saw years ago.
No,
Kind of
it's
it
yeah,
brings it into
it.
like Inception mode, like to Infinity.
No, it looks really good though. I like that. I did like the Tomb Raiders. I'm a little disappointed they've changed the look again of Lara Croft, but I guess it's like a
Something
new
about a
generation. But
unified timeline version, yeah,
yeah,
so
but I do like
whatever.
that. I guess, yeah, what is it? The one here, this is two coming out, 2026, 2027. The one 2026, it's basically like the first one or the second Tomb Raider, like completely
Reimagined, they
redone, the
say, yeah.
Atlantis. So I'm excited to, that'll be fun play. And then
I never played that
Catalyst will
original one,
be.
so
I don't
I
think
didn't
so. I
even
don't
know it
think I
was in
did either.
Atlantis. I
Yeah,
mean,
so.
this remake looks good.
Yeah, it does.
Should be fun.
And then, yeah, Fate of the
Catalyst
Old
looks very
Republic. That was
interesting.
a.
Yeah. And Fate of the Old
Yeah, Catalyst
Republic.
looked great. Yeah, Fate of the Old Republic. That trailer was sick. And the Divinity trailer just blew my mind. I was like, what
Oh, it's
am I watching?
so gruesome and gory and disgusting, and I would say a lot more brutal than most of what you see in Divinity Original Sin 2, which was fantastic, which is a bit more quirky. It had its dark moments, but it was definitely a lot more brightly colored and that kind of thing. This looks really dark. So I'm excited.
Are those, I've never played those ones. Are those over, like, are they sort of Diablo type games where you're like overhead?
No, they, okay, yes, they are. They're not quite isometric because Diablo has one camera and doesn't move, and so that's just at a very set angle. In Divinity Original Sin 2, at least, which is the one that I've played, you can rotate the camera around you, but the primary kind of default camera looks like a Diablo camera, but you can spin it around basically, so you can
Okay.
see everything around you, and it definitely does not play like Diablo because Diablo's click on something or whatever, choose a skill attack, whereas Divinity is very much a turn-based. You get within a range of someone and alert an enemy, and you can't move anymore, and so you start having individual skill sets for being able to move certain distances, being able to attack, and everyone has a set number of actions they can make in a single turn. And it's really, the reason that did so well, so that Larian was able to do Baldur's Gate 3, which obviously was massively successful, and now they're going back to their old world to do the same. But I think your best bet right now is to play Baldur's Gate 3 to get the sense of that type of game, and then you can see
Oh yeah.
as it goes along if you want to play Divinity.
Yeah, isn't but Baldur's Gate 3 is more of like a third person view, isn't it? And they done it like that, sort of?
It's no, it's a mix.
Am I
It's the same
looking?
thing. You can rotate the camera around. You can rotate the camera around similar to Divinity, but you can pull it down to behind you to make it third person. But I think the preferred way most of the time to actually like strategize and make your moves in the turn-based combat is
Okay.
to use that higher-up camera. So yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
it can be third person, but it's not third person in a traditional,
I get, yeah,
third
okay. I hear what you
person
mean.
action game.
Yeah. I think it, yeah, I'm excited though. I just, yeah, from what I've seen in Baldur's Gate 3 and then Larian doing this or Divinity, I was like, this is going to be really intense and detailed
I'm
and, yeah.
stoked. Gotta play Baldur's Gate 3 first.
I mean, you
I
need to
do as
play
well.
Baldur's Gate because I think you can
Yeah.
do it. Can't you do a
You
co-op
can.
or something?
You absolutely can,
Yeah,
yeah.
that'll be
So
fun.
we should look at
Yeah.
that soon. It
Yeah.
won't be part of this podcast though, because that will be a year-long season.
That'll just be something me and you just, yeah, play off,
Chip away at.
play, yeah, chip away at, and then maybe we'll give a little details of it, like when we finish it and how we
Yeah.
feel. But yeah,
Yeah. Well,
I'm excited for that.
the backlog never ends, and when you have 100-hour
No, that's not.
experiences within the backlog, you're even more screwed. So it
Yeah.
just I think I need to stop going for these semi-completionist playthroughs of most games at this point, and instead just do the majority of side quests only in games that I absolutely love every second of. But FOMO is tough within a game. But going too deep leads to FOMO of not playing any other games. It's some kind of balancing act that we got to figure out.
Yes, I agree.
And in addition to that, obviously there were some really great brand new trailers, new reveals of games. There were a bunch of trailers for games we already know about. Don't need to go into that now. But also in recent news, I suppose, was that the Fallout Season 2 started this week. It was originally intended for the 17th, but for whatever reason was pushed forward a day. So that was good for us. I've seen it already. I know you haven't. I thought it was a great kind of like first episode of a Season 2, you know, bringing you back into the world, getting you familiarized with the new location. And that's about it. I mean, there's a bit of action, but nothing too intense. Introduces some new characters. I'm really excited for the way the rest of the season will go, though. So you got to catch up.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, I'll be catching up here soon. I'll watch it here probably this weekend. Yeah, I'm excited for season two for this.
And as for Fallout 4, reminder, we do go into spoilers. So if you want to avoid that, start another episode, play along, and come back. So anyway, we made it to Far Harbor finally, which corresponds to an island off the coast of Maine. And the town is the most stereotypical fishing village ever. I wouldn't be surprised, considering this is Fallout with crazy beasts and animals in it, if Cthulhu popped out of the sea at some point. But he didn't. Spoiler.
I thought there was going to be some more potential of sea monsters.
Yeah. I mean, they have some sea mutations, I guess, but they're not coming out of the ocean, really. And for the most part, they're coming out of, you know, small chunks of water, marshes and swamps and lakes. I don't know if there's any lakes. I'd also say, as far as the stereotypical sea village goes, Old Longfellow also gives off major Captain Ahab vibes, or, you know, really just any salty old ship captain's type of personality who just sits around in a seaside tavern and kind of is grumpy about things. But it kind of added some character as he escorts you around the island.
Yeah, he was funny. He also slightly reminded me, he's like a darker, I grew up with, being English, I grew up with Tintin and Captain Haddock. Where they kind of remind me of that. Like, he's like wanting whiskey, have the booze and all. The old sea captain. So it kind of reminded me a little bit of Captain Haddock from...
Did you take him along with you as a companion through most of this?
No.
I had him really just through the main quest that one of those early quests, story quests to get you to Acadia. And then I went back to MacReady because I was trying to get the accuracy perk. So I didn't bring him along, but I, you know, if at some point I come back to this, I'll bring him along because he seems like a fun guy.
I had Hancock with me mostly as my partner.
Okay, nice.
He was pretty good, actually.
He's a funny character, too, so...
Yeah, he was fun to go along with.
The Far Harbor also brought some thematic weapons into the mix. I bought the harpoon gun, just for funsies, even though I already have my railroad rifle, which is basically just a mini harpoon gun. But it's really entertaining to launch a harpoon at someone from really far away and just see them fly. Didn't use it for too long, though. I ended up ditching it because it's super heavy.
Yeah, I had a harpoon gun. I never used it. I realized, like, I think Hancock just was holding it for me the whole time. I just,
Yeah, reasonable.
I was bad at, like, trying to switch out. I always forget to, like, I have him, like, he's holding him to switch out weapons. There was quite a few times in this one where I was getting... like all these special weapons, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna have to drop this. Like, Hancock can't carry it.
Yeah, I did that too. I mean, I had my set of weapons that were pretty, reliable and solid. So I kept picking them up and then being too heavy to carry, so I would drop them off. Did you? You're still a melee build, right? I assume. So did you use the Deathclaw Gauntlet?
No, I did not.
I saw it in a loading menu, and I saw it in one of the shops. I was wondering if you maybe tried it out because you're a melee build, obviously, but it's, what's his name, Cog in Acadia sells one, but I just saw it in the sort of that blown up version in the loading screen, and it reminded me of this beast claw weapon in Bloodborne, which turns you into a werewolf or a werewolf-like thing. So I thought it was probably pretty cool, but yeah, maybe next time.
Yeah.
Once now,
for my melee build, I built up for the perk-wise, under strength at the bottom, there's a perk where you're in power armor.
Mm.
If you run into people, you do like massive damage.
I saw that. So you just sprint at people?
I maxed that out. So I'd sprint at people. And if I sprinted at like a regular person, it would literally, they'd go flying and they'd like drop their weapon and lose like half their health. And then I'd just run up and slash them and then they're dead. So yeah, it was nice. Useful. It was a fun perk. I like
that. That serrated sword has just brought you through, carried you through most of the game.
Yeah,
huh?
It really did. It was powerful. It was good.
And yeah, I mean, once you get to Acadia, right, old Longfellow brings you over there. You meet Dima and the other synths of the sort of area there, the building, which is an old observatory. Dima definitely is a character. He seems to be super peaceful and pacifist, which is great for a place that seems to be so focused on the meditative, inquisitive existence they've established there in the synth refuge. You know, a lot of the existential questions and the fact that he even asks you if you're a human or a synth and are you sure is kind of intriguing and makes you wonder. Aside from giving a straight I'm a human or I'm a synth answer, you also have two options of things that happened at the beginning of the game, which in the meta sense is the first thing we as players remember of our experience in this game, but are not necessarily our player characters' first memories ever. Unless they're trying to lead us on and make us doubt whether we're human or not, which I think is definitely the case. It could be another Paladin Dance plot twist in the making this early in Far Harbor, but it definitely seemed to be establishing the sort of dual vibes of this expansion being fishing village and maritime themes, and then are you really human type themes too. So, you know, it's a thinker's expansion. When I was talking to Dima, I mentioned to him that the Institute was gone. And also that I'm with the railroad, but he said that the railroad isn't necessarily helping since many of the ones that are saved by the railroad have their memories wiped before they end up there. And then if those synths go over to Acadia, they end up being reminded and, you know, they have like kind of the shock to the system. I wonder what your kind of conversation with him went like.
Trying to remember now. I told him obviously it was gone. And that, yeah, I was part of the Brotherhood, and he was not happy. From what I remember, I can't remember the exact words, but yeah, he was not. I think I was able to tell him like sort of the, like I'm not gonna kill any synths. Like I'm not here to hurt anybody or whatever.
Right.
Because
you were a part of the Brotherhood.
Yeah, a part of the Brotherhood, but he was, yeah, definitely not happy that the Institute had got blown up.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the same deal, which is like, yeah, that's where you came from. Remember, it was like totally manipulating everything there. So that's not cool. I expected him to be more grateful. But anyway, you move on from Dima. When you talk to Kasumi downstairs, she suspects Dima to maybe he's trying to destroy the whole island or force everyone but the synths to be fogged out and then let nature take over. So, you know, at least she's found a personal mission and purpose to being here, even if it wasn't to just simply join the Acadia community. And Dima sends us off on this sort of quest to go infiltrate the Children of Adam, which was a combo of stealth and was a pretty funny mission to me. But once you gain access to Dima's old hard drives, things get crazy. And, you know, did you go through the vision quest to join the Children of Adam?
Yes, I did. Yeah, the visions in the fog. Yeah, I did all the, yeah. Uh-huh.
You mean it's, you know, obviously it's like
you drink from the spring.
You drink from the spring, the toxic spring, and you go over to the thing. Yeah, that was peculiar, I guess. During that process, I picked up a 50% extra damage versus Ghoul's specific combat rifle, which was kind of cool. And then for some reason, didn't see almost any more ghouls in the entire rest of the expansion. So it seemed like a bit of a waste.
I passed it off
to my companion.
Yeah, I only saw a few. Mainly it was the what's it guys? Oh, wow. Trappers. were really the ones I saw, the trappers and then some other creatures.
And a bit of the monsters, the creatures. But, you know, you go through that whole thing. Once you go back and accept to join the Children of Adam, they're way more intense and culty than the ones you found in the Glowing Sea. And walking into the Nucleus, I guess I just misread or didn't realize that it was actually a dry dock for submarines. Like, that line just passed me by. So when you walk in, I wasn't expecting it to be as huge as it is. And on top of that, that slow, deep, religious esque music just adds to the overall sense of it all. And then there's the guy giving the speech who's talking about Dima as an accursed robot, but his files are the key to wiping Far Harbor off the map. So, you know, at this point in the story, I'm expecting, yeah, there's going to be a war eventually between Far Harbor and the Children of Adam, just like the war between Brotherhood and Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good little
going that way.
Set up between factions once again, and they mostly managed to give you all new factions. So you can be a part of multiple factions again. And you wander, you know, you make your way through the sort of back end there, going through the laser traps and the robots, and then you get into the Dima's memory puzzles. What's your first impression there?
I hated it. I didn't get it at first. It kept saying, like, I got to the end where it was, and it kept saying, was it the indexers needed? And I was like, what are these things? I didn't realize it was little creatures on the ground.
The little spider things? Yeah.
Yeah, because, and then it I was, figured it out.
And they have, just, you know, drone robots shooting lasers at them, and then you have to set up your turrets. So it's like a, you know, visually it felt a lot like Tron, but with Minecraft graphics.
It's like a tower defense game.
Yeah, and it's a tower, yeah, it's like a tower defense game with infiltration mechanics.
Yeah.
And it's, but in a 3D space that you're wandering around, like, it's definitely strange and feels pretty out of place overall. Like, I guess it's one way of implementing the like, figure out the memories, but I think there's other ways you could have cracked that. There are some really good examples in Nier Automata that could have been adapted here, but, you know, they did what they did. I guess the change of pace was okay on my end, but there were too long and there were too many of them.
I think there were five total. I think you said you did all five. I did the first three because you really just have to do it. And the third one, like, it just took forever, like moving blocks back and forth. Yeah. Like, it just took a long
moving
time.
The blocks and storing the blocks, and you had to be in the what's it called, like the workshop mode. And if you tried to, like, do something, it would try to kick you out of the whole experience overall. So you had to restart it. Like, I did that at least once by accident because I hate the kind of settlement crafting thing overall. But as you're going through it, you get your sort of snippets of information and pieces of the map. So Dima's memories reveal some sinister plans that track with what the Confessor was announcing. They want to wipe out Far Harbor with the nuke on the submarine in the Nucleus. And so even though Dima has tons of gratitude for the Children of Adam, he didn't want them doing that. And that's why he locked away his memories, was to eliminate the option. And then there's the other piece where there were some codes that you could turn off the fog condenser, so the fog just basically consumes Far Harbor. And, you know, it's basically just like, okay, so Dima decides to just be the peacekeeper by just not giving anyone information. That seems well enough, I suppose, but then he wiped his memories out, and it gives you three additional quests that you have to go down to go find those pieces of information to move along. The couple things I will tell you of are, in Memory 4, the interview tape, you find out that Nick Valentine is Dima's brother.
Huh. Okay. That's actually kind of cool.
Which, looking at them, I suppose makes some sense.
Yeah.
I did not have Nick with me at the time, but I imagine doing that would generate some interesting conversations at that point, both with him and when you're talking to Dima afterwards.
Yeah.
I didn't go through with any of that. I'm sure somebody has done that. So if anyone listening did see that conversation, curious to hear what they said. And then in Memory 5, which was way too long and annoying, you get revealed the places where supposedly, you know, pre-war, there were some tankers that brought high-end combat armor that capsized. So basically I had to go underwater trekking in my power armor off 3 points off the coast.
Oh, God. Okay.
And then one of them was actually in a ship that wasn't walkable, like enterable. in the power armor, so I had to get out and swim to it. But then as I was swimming back, I don't know what the cutoff point is or what the reason is, but you start either suffocating, I'm assuming, and my health just rapidly decreasing. So I would use jet to slow time down, pop a bunch of stim packs, and just swim as fast as I could. And it kept happening. And then once I was in my power armor, it still kept happening. But I was overburdened by the pieces of combat armor that I was holding. What I was doing was like taking one of the chems that increases your endurance temporarily so that my endurance would be high enough, I wasn't overburdened, and I could fast travel back to land. So I went through that 3 times, and then I was super excited because the way it was described, I guess I just haven't used combat armor at all throughout the time playing this, but I thought they were talking about power armor, and combat armor is just like regular person kind of chunks of armor.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think it's called marine armor in this case. And so it's like a really cool looking and very high defense combat armor, but has nothing compared to my power armor and doesn't help me with carrying the, 10 guns that I have. So I immediately put it in storage and realized I wasted time. So that was not worth going through memory 5. That is the one afterwards, after I was done with all those memories, I looked them up in online just to see people's opinions, and Reddit's just, seems like most people didn't enjoy that, and most people that use mods turn off the whole Dima section and just give you the map spots because it's just so annoying. So hey, that's a smart tip if you want to skip it from the beginning. Anyway, from there, did you pick up the Vim brand power armor in the soda factory?
No, I didn't get the power armor. No,
I was in like an office above one of the entrances,
but yeah. I didn't get.
Yeah, because you have to go down there to. Okay, I mean, yeah, I guess this is the point where there's the major story bits, right? So, Dima obviously has big secrets. He killed Captain Avery, the original Captain Avery from Far Harbor, replaced her with a synth. So that's who you're talking to the whole time. She's there to be a level-headed advocate for the synths amongst the humans. And then he erased his memory because he felt bad about killing her.
Yeah.
And, not only did he install the programmed AV personality into a blank slate synth, he wiped out a pre-existing synth's reality and replaced it. So just double whammy of kind of being a terrible person. He also had that contingency plan, right, to wipe out both Children of Adam and Far Harbor with different methods in case anything threatened Acadia or the synths too much, but felt bad about that too, locked it away. And so he wants to play God, basically, after he does it, he can't stomach it. Cool story, bro.
Yeah, I know. He had like the fail safes built in into the fog condensers.
Yeah. So he has all these ways to like destroy everyone but himself, but then he just like,
the launch key for the nucleus.
I feel so bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel so bad. I can't live with myself. Okay. Well, now I can live with myself because I don't remember it anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Knowing all of that detail and you go and confront Dima, I mean, all of that considered, I'm in Far Harbor in the first place as a railroad synth helping member of society, and more importantly a representative of Valentine Detective Agency. So my main point of being here is to support Kasumi, whether that means assisting her make a choice or go back to her parents. Considering Dima says that if we tell Far Harbor they'll come wipe out Acadia, I'm assuming at that point that includes Kasumi, and if they wipe out Acadia, the maintenance of the wind turbines will go to crap eventually and Far Harbor will die to the fog anyway, so it's just a delayed suicide even though they don't know it. And there's no way I'm actively helping the Children of Adam destroy Far Harbor either, because they're really just a cult. And they're mostly just fishermen in Far Harbor, from what I can tell. So I was kind of trapped by Dima, too, and had to keep a secret to protect Kasumi. Once I told him I would keep that secret, he hatched the other plan. And since Captain Avery Replicant worked so well, he says if we replace Confessor Tectus the same way in the Children of Adam, the synth version could mellow out and strive for peace. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I did the same. Yeah, I did the same thing as you. I basically, kind of backed in that corner saying, like, look, I'll keep the secret. Like, I have the key for the launch. It's not going anywhere. I have whatever else it was for the condensers. I'm not going to use it. I'm like, I'll just keep it all to myself. Yeah. I won't tell them about Captain Avery. Yeah. Just, yeah.
So, okay, so we both went with a sort of pacifist, trapped by Dima route, but hey, maybe it's the
slightly,
it's the greater
slightly
good.
Pacifist, except for the thing of you actually have to kill the real Tectus to be able to have this synth.
Well, I might have a little plot twist there for you. So we both went off to do that, and for me it was pretty funny, I think, for that reason. So you went right. I mean, you got to go and convince Tectus to go meet you in private. So because you have this doctored message from Dima, and I'm explaining that his predecessor's coming back and that he's all worried about it. Did you? You know, Dima said to like kind of get in his good graces, which I didn't do. I just kind of walked up and showed him the thing, and he said, "Oh yeah, okay, I'll meet you." And he showed up with some guards, basically two armed guards, to threaten and I'm assuming kill me. Did he show up like that with you, or did he show up by himself?
No, it was by himself for me, and that's probably
okay,
because
so you must have done some kind of side quest.
I had done a side quest one before called the Witch Hunt. Is probably what it was.
Yes, that was the one. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I had done that, and I
did not
on
that,
that one. On that one, I lied to him because the lady was like, kind of. I told her like basically like, but there was letters between her and somebody else about Tectus and the other confessor, and I basically told her like, look, I have this stuff. Let's get rid of it. Don't ever bring this up again. And then I went to Tectus and said no, because he was like sure that she was against him. So I was like, no, she's clear. I've checked her out. So I like lied to him.
Okay.
And he believed, because my what's it so much higher, he believed it. So I was like, okay, cool.
Okay. So he showed up by himself then because he believed you. He showed up for, it's basically to kill me with two armed guards because he said, some people actually, you know, respect the authority, blah, blah, blah. So did he fight back or did you just kind of one shot him?
Yeah, if I remember rightly, I was having a conversation with him and then I think I tried to persuade him on something and it didn't go to plan. And then he tried to fight me. I can't remember what the phrase was. But then he tried to fight me, and then I just was like, nope. And I swiped him and killed him.
Okay.
And then buried him in a wall.
Oh, you did the bury in the wall thing. Okay, that's fun. So, you know, right at that point, right, he's there with the two guards. He's about to do whatever. But I used my maxed out charisma to convince him to leave the island and never come back.
Okay.
I said, Dima sent me to kill you if you don't leave. And he freaked out and he was saying something along the lines of, wow, Dima's reach really covers every corner of this island. Okay, fine, I'll leave. Obviously, it's probably a bit more culty or elegant than that, but that was the end point. So he just bailed and left. The three of them walked back up the tunnel to get to the dry dock. And I just kind of sprinted by them and said, peace. And then, just for fun, I actually, right before walking out of the dry dock there, the nucleus, I just saved my game and then went inside the submarine and hit the launch button for the missile, the nuke missile, and then ran outside. Like, everyone immediately turned on me, so I jumped out and I still love that giant thud when you jump off of something, a high point in your power armor and slam on the ground.
Yeah.
So sweet. But anyway.
With that, my upgrade that I have, so when I do that, if I slam into the ground and people around me, it knocks them back.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a very useful upgrade then. It applies for all directions. Yeah. So, I mean, I had no expectations of, what's it called, you know, keeping this as part of my story, but I just wanted to see it happen. After doing all of that, I saved my game. I went into the submarine, hit the launch button on the nuke missile, ran outside, and then got a far enough distance away. I was still getting shot at, but then I just watched the whole place go up in flames, which was great. And then I just reloaded the save and then walked out normally.
Oh, okay.
that was just for my own entertainment. And you know, in the end, it sounds like for both of us, we were able to bring peace between the island factions.
Yeah.
In a very manipulative, terrible way, but it's better than the the other thing. And Far Harbor and the Nucleus started peace talks with the synth replicant version of Tectus and all that, you know, for the greater good. But, you know, while it's peace and it's leaving each other alone, I do feel like I just aided and abetted the biggest, most dangerous piece of scum on the island at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like that as well.
But, you know, if you don't go that route, I'm pretty sure all of Far Harbor would have died at some point in the future. I'm not so worried about the crazies in the nucleus, since their end goal of religious salvation was really just blowing themselves up with a missile, because there's no way the missile was going to leave the nucleus in the first place, according to some of the info you find out. But, and then you go back and you talk to Dima and all of that. Kasumi, after all this, is mostly leaning towards the fact that she's the Kasumi replacement synth and not the original Kasumi. But it kind of feels, she kind of feels like she owes her, the parents, some respect or something, and should just go back and be with them and act like their daughter anyway. At my first thought, when she was basically saying, "What should I do?" was that she should stay in Acadia if she really believes she's a synth, because, you know, everyone eventually has to discover their own personality and way of life and belief system separate from their parents and their upbringing. But then I got to thinking about it, and I was just here staring at like the four options on the screen. You know, she's skeptical of and knows all of Dima's dirt because I told her about it all, actually. And he's one of the most dangerous, manipulative characters in the Commonwealth and the island. So I decided it was best for her to just go home after all.
Yep, I did the same exact thing.
Did you do the same?
I said, yeah, I did the same thing. Because I had told her everything. Yeah, I said, same. Yeah, like, look, I think it's best just, yeah, go home. Go see your family.
Yeah. And, yeah, and when I went back to the house, her parents' house at the edge of the map, everyone seemed to be pretty happy, all things considered. It was like a nice reuniting of the family.
Yeah, it was a nice little reunion at the end of for the family, which is cool. And then they give you can go get some like a stash of something, I think, if I remember rightly.
Yes, they give you a stash in like the storage shed underground with some goodies. But overall, I had heard that there are some people that think that's what the story of the Fallout 4 as a whole should have been, rather than the whole Shaun Institute story. And I have to say, I mean, for a self-contained small chunk expansion story like this, I thought they really did a good job.
They did.
Covered a lot of the bases and was pretty interesting, and had, you know, it was really good to also just be in more of this kind of island foresty type environment after being so long in basically the desert-ish type version of Boston, which was a weird thing to even say, but yeah, it was a nice kind of change of pace visually, as well as the atmosphere of the characters there. And so while we had originally planned to play through Nuka World, and I even got a little head start on it after playing through the gauntlet and the boss fight at the beginning, and seeing the way the story was going to be pretty bare bones in that expansion, and it basically just sets you up to just be progressively more of a bad person and primarily combat focus on a really big map, we've decided to not work through the expansion for this podcast. You know, the Disneyland or Disney World style map itself is awesome, by the way. Don't get me wrong. It looks really good and unique from the rest of the Commonwealth, kind of like Far Harbor, but I just wasn't grabbed by the reasons for doing anything beyond wandering for wandering's sake.
Yeah, I agree.
I think of a theme park as a great place for a happy-go-lucky vibe, which could work really well in Fallout 4, I think, based on the rest of the game. I also don't have a problem necessarily with this evil or slightly less evil approach in Nuka World, because it flips the amusement park concept of joy on its head. But it's something I would consider for a different playthrough where I was role-playing someone evil, and you know, it just didn't really fit with what I went with this time. So I'm removing the little bit that I played from my headcanon of my overall Fallout 4 experience, especially considering Far Harbor was such an excellent bookend to the story. You know, you're helping your friend Nick's agency and showing what else your character would get up to as they continued to live in this world after the sort of massive main quest from the base game.
Yeah.
If anyone does decide to continue on and play Nuka World, let us know how it's going for you on our Discord. And if you feel it's an absolutely indispensable part of the game for any reason, we want to hear that too, and we might consider going back to it at some point. Outside of that, Alex, I know you mentioned previously you played a bit of the Automatron DLC during our time with Fallout 4. Anything notable to mention from that?
I did. It was pretty fun. It was a little difficult. You basically, you get a robot pal named Ada, after like okay. her. She's with a caravan of robots, and then these other robots come up and kill them all, like the humans and the robots. But she's able to fight out like some of them off, and she stays alive. And then you kind of take her. You are able to get with her and go around to different bits of, you have to find the mechanist is who it is. They have like, well, he has like radio messages coming out through different robots and through different places. And whenever you see their robots, like they attack you, and some of them are powerful. Yeah. If you have the laser or plasma rifle, it helps, but man, some are powerful. But you go through, there's a little bit of the story. You go, there's a part where you go into, is it the Ironworks? No, Ironworks or somewhere else. And you have to collect this brain. Oh my gosh, I can't remember what the brain's called. You collect this brain, and then you're able to put it into you make a robot body for it. And it kind of tells you like where the mechanist's like lair or hideout is. And you're able to put it into Ada, and then you go over and you fight the mechanist, and you find out the mechanist, it's some girl in this mechanist outfit, and okay. she basically had programmed robots to help people live their best lives and others, but
noble
how the okay, robots good. Were taking of like living life to the best or like helping out was to kill them, like this not okay. it's not like their best life, they're not going to have their best life or whatever, or like it's not good for them, they're not going to survive, so let's just help them out now and kill. So it was like basically a coding error.
Okay.
So
wow, that's a dark yeah, term.
When you get there, you have like a boss fight with her, but you don't kill, like I think you may have an option sure. to kill. I didn't kill her, but it's like a sort of like a boss fight of like she sends multiple waves of robots, and it's a bit difficult, but it wasn't too bad. But I actually used her for armor wise, I used her helmet, which was actually a pretty good helmet. It was a funny looking helmet. And it's another one of those where if you're in power armor, because the helmet has things that stick out of the top of it, it sticks out of the side of the power yeah. armor.
Yeah.
But overall, it was fun, but it wasn't, it was me like, essential. I didn't realize, yeah, I didn't even realize I was doing that bit of the DLC until later on when I was about halfway through. And then I was like, oh, you know what?
Sure.
I was like, I'll just continue it. Like, since I've done like half of it, I'll just finish it.
If you're invested
it,
in this story piece.
But it was because I randomly ran upon it. It was just like me wandering, and then I ran into that, and it just started randomly. Like I wasn't looking for it.
Yeah. Yeah, which happens a lot because there's really no filtering or no organization within the quest menu. It's like at some point I had to scroll down halfway through it just to find the one quest that I was already on.
So but I didn't enjoy it. I think Far Harbor was better. I did enjoy Far Harbor more. I did a couple extra side quests in Far Harbor, like for the Children of Adam. I did the, what is it? The Trial of Brother Devin was what it was called. Where this Brother Devin was basically not eating, drinking, like it's basically on a hunger strike or whatever. Think trying to get a sea of vision.
Their visions.
And so you have to... So his friend is like wants you to help, and so you like dress up in the robes, but then you have to get your RADS level to 75%, so you're glowing, and then you go up to Brother Devin, and
your actual body starts glowing.
Yeah, and then
wow, okay, that's
and then like you go up to Devin and you talk to him. He's like, oh, it's the vision. It's yeah, and so you convince him like, okay, you've done what you have to do. Like, go back. So that was kind of it was. Fine, almost killed me though, because then your health just starts to drop instantly. You have to like really stim yourself. That was fun. And then another little fun one I did, Children of Adam side quest, was when you walk in to the nucleus, if you saw like you saw the button that you press for like a radiation shower to get the radiation off you, if you talk to May, she asks you to like help fix it.
Yeah, she wants to push it and said it was broken. Yeah.
Yeah. She wants you to fix it, but I fixed it, but it like she wants you to fix it so that it sprays out a whole bunch of radiation on you.
Of course she does.
So not a cleaning shower. Yeah. So for everybody, for the Children of Adam to but because my intelligence was so high when I went down to fix it, it says, it basically gives you a prompt of, because your intelligence is blah, 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 you now know how to swap it so that it actually gets rid of radiation. It does a regular shower, not a, what's it? Mm. So it's like, do you want to spit out radiation or do you want to clean it off? So I was like, oh, let's clean it off. And then I went back and told her, it was like, yeah, it's all good. It's all fixed. I fixed everything. She's like, yeah, everyone's going to get such a good dose of glow. And yeah, but really they're going to get all cleaned off when they, this is what I did.
Those people are crazy. You know, after you're doing these side quests, I'm a little surprised you didn't go and wipe out Far Harbor on behalf of the Children of Adam.
No. I did a couple side quests too for Far Harbor, like looking for some, what was it? I was helping the Mariner with some of the stuff of trying to get a ship together. I didn't fully finish that one. There was another one in Far Harbor that you had to do, which was, it's basically like a trial of getting through. You have to go and put food in the water and then fight all these Mirelurks.
Mirelurks, yeah.
Yeah, and the wave, and then it's like waves of enemies and they get progressively harder. And on the final wave, you have to fight a legendary Mirelurk queen. And I died and I was like, yeah, okay, I'm not even going to bother with that one. Like, I'm good.
The Mirelurk queen at the castle was enough for me. You know, actually, when I was going and searching for some of the stuff, there's another island nearby when you're getting some of the things that Dima hid away. And I saw a giant Mirelurk queen over there too. I was like, nope, not going that way.
Yeah, that was not, I was not doing, this was a legendary one and it killed me so fast. I was like, yeah, no,
crazy.
Not even going to try that one. But overall, crazy. I really enjoyed it.
Far Harbor was good. It was good. It was a good finish. So yeah, I mean, that's a wrap on our time with Fallout 4. And it was a great ride overall. I suppose it's time for a bit of a rating and a review. What would you assign to this one?
Definitely. I would say, let's see, for the whole experience overall, there was some, I would go with 8 to 8.5.
Okay.
I think out of 10 for me, for all of it. I did really enjoy it. There were certain just little things, I think, then at the end, like, I kind of just get like a little bit over it. Like, I'd put a lot of hours into it. I'd probably put close to 100 hours into the whole thing with a lot of wandering around. I mean, I'd reached level 50. I was above level 50. I think I was 52 or something when I ended. But I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the story. If I replayed it, there were a few like skill points or perks in the beginning I would have changed, definitely.
Yeah, a respec option would have been fantastic.
I then, like, once I decided, like, oh, I'm just basically using power armor and melee and all that, and I kind of just went that route, I got a nice build. But yeah, I would say probably out of 10.
Okay.
I did then have some issues with crashing also.
Oh, yeah. I think I had a couple of glitches. More issues started coming out when they released that new version,
The new anniversary update. Yeah, definitely.
Had more crashes. Fortunately, that one crash that corrupted my save file was recoverable, and I'm glad that didn't ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I had a couple crashes afterwards too. And yeah, it's just a quick save literally as often as you can.
Yeah.
And I think, the power armor, like, I went into the game wanting to use power armor because I think it's just awesome, but I was expecting to not use it constantly. Like, I didn't, you get one early, obviously, in the basically one of the first main quests, but I kind of dropped it off because there weren't enough fusion cores. Eventually you pick up so many that you can just constantly be in power armor. But honestly, the primary reason outside of just damage reduction that I was using it was just for the carry capacity.
Carry, yes, I agree. It was definitely the carry capacity.
And there are special skills that you can add so you can increase your carry. And I did put one into it because it was just unreasonable eventually. But to just be constantly trudging along when outside of the suit. I was just wearing it the whole time because I was semi-underleveled, like not truly underleveled, but I think I finished around 38, maybe. I don't know if I hit 40. Probably got close, but throughout some of the later main story quests, I was kind of underleveled, and but the carry capacity, you just need more carry capacity. It gets crazy.
Yeah, especially with the amount of weapons and everything I was finding, and like special, like the legendary pieces you get off of some other bad guys, like legendary bad guys who drop the special pieces of armor that you can't really carry. You can't carry slash you can't when you get to like a armor, like a workbench.
You can't sell them. Or scrap them. Yeah.
You can't scrap them. You can sell them, but then.
So much loot, and then you got to, you know, you don't necessarily want to fast travel back to a place you can store it constantly, because unless you're doing all the settlement building stuff and settlement management, you can't even do that many settlements by default. And then, your companion only has a very small amount of carry capacity.
That was another perk later on that I ended up maxing out. Like, there's one down under someone where you can increase your companion, the amount of damage they do, the amount of defense they have, and then their carry capacity.
Oh, Jesus. I don't think I saw any of those things. I didn't even look at that bottom left corner.
So I did that. Yeah. It still didn't make much of a difference because I still had a ton of stuff. And it was like trying to swap out things I'll take that, but maybe not that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as far as rating goes on mine, I probably landed by the end at somewhere between a 7 and an 8. I guess about the time that I reached Kellogg and then even the Glowing Sea and right before getting to the Institute for the first time, I was thinking, honestly, my final rating was going to land somewhere around a 6.5, 7. I was, at that point, I was really just thriving on vibes and atmosphere and ambiance and the quirky offbeat humor, but I found the gameplay to be just okay back then. The gunplay itself was all right at best. The experience gain and the level progression seemed pretty slow. The RPG conversation elements were very lackluster compared to other favorites of mine like Mass Effect and Witcher 3 and Divinity Original Sin 2. And I absolutely loved specific moments, like being a detective with Nick Valentine, coming across the synths without ever expecting them to exist or knowing anything about them before we started, wandering the hazy glowing sea. The town of Good Neighbor as a whole was very unique and entertaining. Some of those funny quests like the Silver Shroud were great, and other kind of just random discoveries I was making. But some of the fluffier elements of any open world game kind of took away from that experience overall for me. And yeah, I think the experience game could have been a lot faster. And there's a skill that you can maximize to do that as well, but I feel like that should just be better from the get-go. And then I arrived at the Institute and the plot thickened and I joined the railroad and I had a cause that seemed interesting. And I finally figured out how the hell to level up my character instead of just blowing so many points in that base top line of special stats, which was a major, major oversight from the beginning. And then, you know, as I was putting points into the various VAT skills and, you know, doing a bit more damage, and the gunplay became a lot more fun. And the end of the story, main story was I thought was really cool from the railroad side. And then I enjoyed it from the
Brotherhood side. So,
yeah. So like it, the unique parts start to really add up basically and overshadow the bad things. From my perspective, so Far Harbor was definitely a good kind of noirish type experience with the existential element. And, you know, I think, was it a better story completely than the main one? I think it was definitely good and a good change of pace. I think the main story had, right, obviously, like a lot of different segments of mystery to it, which were entertaining. But, you know, all of that mixed together and blended up with my favorite individual moments from before that turning point, you know, squeezed out an additional point to my rating. So I'm sitting at an 8 now. If I had known how to level up from the beginning, I might have gotten as high as an 8.5 or a 9.
Yeah, that was my own mistake.
And I would turn back time and know that one detail, and then I'd probably be a lot higher rating.
And would have enjoyed it. I'll be at an eight. I'd be at eight out of 10.
Yeah.
8 out of 10, I think it is. I also forget that this game came out in 10 years ago.
Yeah. Like, no, that's a good point too. You got to keep that in mind. Yeah. You know, all I know at this point is I'll be taking these learnings into any other 3D Fallout game that I play.
Mm-hmm.
And not screw that up.
Yes.
And look up perks for companions and look at the whole skill tree early.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, same here.
any parting thoughts on your end?
No, I mean... No, I think 8 out of 10 is a good score for it. Again, it was still weird that it's a 10-year-old game, but I enjoyed this being my first ever big Fallout game ever played. I enjoyed it. It was something different. There was a lot, but as I said, I put a lot of time into it. And then by the end, and that's probably my fault, I burned myself out slightly on it by putting
the other thing too being that we calculated based off of some information that wasn't complete because we didn't want to spoil ourselves and ended up finding out that the last sort of sprint towards the end game was actually almost as long as everything up until that point. And so within our week-to-week format, we kind of burned ourselves out that way. But hey, we're past it. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
Fun.
I think the other thing too that, you know, Bethesda always gets trashed for how buggy these games are and how much jank there is to it. And I agree with those things. But at the same time, when you look at how many interconnecting systems and layers and levels of detail and there's so many different things that you can be doing in one of these games, and this is just one game, you know, taking 10 years or 15 years or probably 20 to get to Fallout 5 is unacceptable regardless. You just hire more people. but that aside, considering how in-depth and detailed this game is, I can totally forgive them for having some bugs here and there. And obviously, you know, enough other people can too because they're still buying the game.
Definitely.
But as far as parting thoughts go, there were surprisingly few Boston accents. Maybe none that I encountered, actually. I heard a single one.
I only heard a couple.
I suppose after 200 years, language changes. That's sort of the natural course of everything. But it popped into my head, at least on a few occasions, just being like, well, I'm just wandering through Boston. Oh, I've actually been to this place in Boston. Wait a minute. No one speaks like they're from Boston. So that was kind of curious. Otherwise, I mean, this really is a great franchise. I'm glad that we finally got to it. I might, you know, if we didn't do this for this podcast, I probably would have waited another couple of years to ever get to it, if ever, honestly.
That's probably same with me. It's always one I've always been intrigued to play, but it's always, like, if we didn't have done this, it would have always been one of, I want to, but now I'll play this instead. So not I'm now, glad that we kind of... We put this on a list and we push ourselves and let's play this. We want to both play.
And I will say, you know, that seeing the TV show and really enjoying it a couple of years, a year or two ago, also bumped it up because I would have done it obviously back then when that first season came out. But the entertainment value from that gave me a couple extra bonus points into wanting to do it at some point, not never. But anyway, it's a great franchise. I imagine Elder Scrolls is too, but I think both of these Bethesda series are really good for anyone that just wants to buy a single game and have it last you potentially forever. You can legitimately find entertainment and things you've never seen before for thousands of hours on a single playthrough without even having to start up another playthrough, although I know people do that. So if you're gaming on a budget or just want to go that extra mile, Fallout is for sure the series for you.
Yeah. Totally agree.
And I can't wait to see what else is in store for us in the rest of season 2 of the TV show. And just, so glad we played this in anticipation because my hype for that first episode was at a peak recently. And especially having been in this world for so long and knowing that they actually canonically connect to is even cooler.
Yeah. And it makes me also more excited for when we see something or we hear something about actual Fallout 5. And I know they mentioned that with the TV show, it might Fallout 5 might take place at the same time or the events of the TV show will have happened that in Fallout 5. So that'll be fun. Right.
So maybe we'll play that somewhat soon after launch instead of 10 years later. We'll just have to wait and find out.
Yeah.
Aside from that, tune in next time to find out which games Season 8 of the Big Gaming Black Backlog Book Club will be about. And keep your ears peeled as well, as we have a bit of a surprise coming up before we reach Season 8, too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, keep your ears out and everything. But yeah, thank you for joining us on this journey of Fallout 4. It was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it as well. I hope you enjoyed Far Harbor and all that. But yeah, we're excited to keep going, and we'll talk again soon. See ya.
On to the next one.
If you want to follow along and do a playthrough of any games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name. Thanks.